Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series Arise Shine. Now with the word, here's Beverly.
Well, bless the Lord, it's wonderful. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and today I want to speak to you, and I'm not going to preach long either. I'm just going to speak to you today about the favor of God. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, since God has opened my eyes, that I know that I know that I know that I know that I am His favorite child. It's just like, it's wonderful. I mean, I am His favorite child. Did your mother or your father have a favorite child? My mother always said, we had three girls. You know, I'm the youngest of three girls. My mother said, I don't have any favorites, but I always knew I was her favorite. Not really. You know, she treated us all the same. But I'm telling you, I'm God's favorite child. Now, you can be too, because God really doesn't have favorites. But you see, God, He is not a respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of faith. And so if you've got faith to believe for His favor, I'm telling you, He's going to pour it out on you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So God, He's looking for people to pour out His favor and His grace upon. And if you've just got a little bit of faith, saying, Lord, I'm just reaching out to receive Your favor today, I'm telling you, it's going to just blow your mind away. I keep saying that over my children. From the beginning of this year, when the Lord began to give me this word, the verse of scripture that He gave me to pray over Tracy and Brad, and now I've got a son-in-law too, Tracy and Matt and Brad, is, Lord, that You would increase, that they would be increased in wisdom, in strength, in stature, and in favor with God and man. From Luke chapter 2, verse 50. That the Lord would just increase favor upon them. And it's been amazing. I mean, Brad, he just graduated from Oral Roberts University in May. It was so amazing. His sister, you know, I'm just a little bit proud. You know, it's okay. Just forgive me while I brag on my kids just a little bit. But Tracy graduated summa cum laude, you know. And so she, and I never thought, although Bradley's just as smart as she is, he enjoyed life. I mean, anything that was going in university, he was involved in. He was with all the sports, and he was with all the Bible studies. He was leading praise and worship. And like homework came last about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when he did his homework. So the chances of him graduating summa cum laude were just like, almost like, not very good. But right about 3 weeks before his final exams, he realized that he could maybe, if he really worked, and he did very well on his exams, maybe he could do it. Well, he wrote all his exams, and they were all great, but his one exam, I think it was statistics, which is not a great subject. You know, he did an MIS degree. And he knew he was getting a B all the way down the line. But if he got 90 or 93 or something, some percentage like that on his final test, he would just scrape in with an A. And so he wrote his exam and he said, Mom, I didn't do it. It was a terrible exam. I just know I didn't do it. Well, the day of the exam, when they posted the results, he called the professor. And the professor said to him, Brad, I don't know what happened during your test this test you just did. He said, but you made 89.6 on this test, and I've just rounded it up to 90 for you. So Brad made summa, you know. So I'm telling you, it was the favor of God. And the favor, I speak that favor over my kids all the time. Bradley is working in a company in Tulsa. It's a computer software company with tax. I don't know anything about it, but they sell tax software, and that's the company he works on. And I'm telling you, he just has got so much favor on him. He walks in favor. If there's, he, for example, one week that he got the prize for selling the most tax deals, and he got $25 gift certificate to movies or something like that. He played golf the other day. His company played golf, and he won the drawing. I mean, it's just like favor every which way this kid turns. Because mother is speaking it over him and praying it over him, and he's getting to believe it, that yes, there's favor upon me and I can believe it, and because it's God's favor. I'm God's favorite child. But you see, if you don't know it, like I said last night, it's according to your own faith be it unto you. So today, your whole scope of expectancy needs to be broadened so that you can say, Lord, I thank you that I'm your favorite child and you're going to bless me super abundantly. And I'm just going to walk in your favor. I'm going to have favor with God. I'm going to have favor with men. I'm going to have favor with my work. I'm going to have favor with my boss. I'm going to have favor with my husband, with my kids. I'm going to walk in favor. Because when God's favor is on you, I mean, you just got everything you need. So, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read from, it's all good, but let's start at verse 16. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so I've got a few extra words in there. Consequently, Paul says in verse 16, from now on, we estimate and regard no one after a human point of view. Boy, is that ever a good word for mothers with teenage kids. Especially if your kids are saved. Don't regard them from a human point of view. Wives, don't regard your husband from a human point of view. Husbands, don't regard your wife from a human... You need to see them in Christ. Complete. That's how he sees them. That's how I pray over my kids. Yes, my kids are not perfect. I know that. I know they still mess up and I know they still do things probably that they're not supposed to do. But I am praying over them and I'm speaking over them the righteousness of God, the completeness of God. I'm seeing them complete in Him. I'm seeing them and I'm speaking over them what God and how God sees them. That's another whole sermon. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in the Anointed One, he is a new creation. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, reconciled us to Himself, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave us to the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and by deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, God wants the world in favor with Him. You know, for too long we've preached a God that is so holy out there, and you cannot come into His presence if you've got any sin in your life. And you know, it's like God is, you better have your three ducks in a row, otherwise God's going to strike you dead. But I want to tell you something. God has reconciled us to Himself, into favor with Himself. And let's just get over the fact that we will never have our three ducks in a row, okay? We'll never be perfect. Is that okay? Just when you think you're perfect, then your husband will show you that you're not perfect. Or, you know, you'll trip and you fall. So you're never going to be this perfect, this side of glory. Can we all just put that down? I mean, and that's not putting condemnation on anybody. That's just being real. We're perfect because we're clothed in His righteousness. But yes, I mean, we're working towards it, and we're being changed from one degree of glory into another. But only one day when we're in glory will we be totally perfect and without sin. And that's why Jesus said, John said in 1 John, that if you sin, you have an advocate. You can just come boldly before the throne of grace in Romans 8 and find mercy to help. It's wonderful. So, you know, let's just put it down and let's give everybody a little bit of space to fail. This is not my sermon, but you know, it's okay. It's okay to fail. Is that okay? Now, I know you've never heard a preacher say that before, but it's just okay because He made a provision for our failures. And He doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you reconciled, and He's put His love and His favor and His blessing upon you. Oh, it's good. And let's just give everybody just a little bit of space. You know, I don't have to be perfect. You know, and I don't have to be perfect. It's so wonderful. My husband's coming home in 2 days. He called me this morning. He said, I've only got one sleep left, and I'm hitting that plane. I said, I've got 2 sleeps left before you come home. We're counting the sleeps. Did your kids ever do that before Christmas? Do you count the sleeps before Christmas morning? Well, my husband's coming home on Tuesday, so I'll be a happy camper on Tuesday night. But he's coming home, and I'm just telling you, when he's there, I don't have to be perfect. I can kick my shoes off, I can take my makeup off, and I can just sit and lounge, and I can just be myself, and you know, and I don't have to be this little prim and proper person that I am in church. And you know what? God wants us to be the same way with Him. I'm telling you, just relax He knows your corns and your warts and your failures and your weaknesses, and He's given you grace. That's why His grace is there. He gives you grace to overcome that. I don't even know why I'm saying all that. I don't usually say all that, but I'm just telling you that's for you. Just relax. You're never going to be perfect, and just enjoy His presence. You'll be perfect one day. We are so hard on ourselves, aren't we? We expect so much out of ourselves. And I want to tell you, it's a religious booger that makes us do that. And you know, we just got to get rid of that religious booger. You know, when you got a booger, the best thing to do with a booger is to blow it out your nose. It's miserable having a booger in your nose, isn't that true? I know you've never heard a preacher preach about boogers, but that is true. Get rid of that booger. It bothers you. You can't sleep. Your nose gets all congested. I mean, that's just how it is. Pick it out. Blow it out. Whatever you have to do, but get it out. Now, I'm telling you something. That religious booger is just like a thing that hangs over you, trying to be perfect. And whenever you slip, the enemy comes and just bashes you over the head. You see, I told you, you'll never amount to much. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you're so spiritual? And you know what? We've used those words, and the enemy speaks those words, and before we know it, we are just a little drop on a puddle in the corner somewhere, and we can't amount to anything. We feel a failure. We are a failure. We just feel like, oh, God can't be pleased with us. Let me just tell you something. God is pleased with you just as you are. He loves you just as you are. Even if you never, ever change, He loves you just as you are. And you know why I can say that? Because He loves you. He sees me through rosy-tinted glasses, tinted with the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, that's good news. That is whooping, shouting, hallelujah, glory stuff. That is good news. Because He sees me, and I see my failures and my weaknesses, but He sees me complete, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, washed in the blood of the Lamb. He sees me absolutely walking in all of His goodness and all of His inheritance and all of His prosperity. That's how He sees you. You can't do enough. You see, this is what the enemy wants to always tell us. You've got to work so hard to make God pleased with me. There's nothing more that I can do to make God any more pleased with me. There's nothing that I can't do that'll make God less pleased with me. Now, some of you might have to compute that a little bit. But He loves you just as you are. And you're precious to Him. And you are so special to Him. And He loves you, and He's drawn you, and He's placed His joy and His favor around you. He's brought you out of the old, and He's placed you in the new. He's brought you out of the covenant of the devil and under his bondage, and he's made you into a new creation in Christ. And you are new and complete in Him. And that's good news. I'm telling you, that's what the gospel's all about. It's good news. And He's placed His favor upon you. So many of us, and this is what religion does. Well, I've got to read my Bible for an hour every day. Then I've got to pray for another hour. Then I've got to tithe and bring my offering. And I've got to witness to at least 5 people every day. And then when I come to the end of the day, I say, oh, Lord, I hope all these offerings that I did to You makes You so happy. And I hope You'll be pleased with me. And the Lord says, I'm pleased with you just like you are. If you didn't witness to a single soul today, Lord help me, I'm still pleased with you. You see, there's nothing you can do to make you more pleasing to God than you already are. When you came to Jesus and you received the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, you entered in from His displeasure into His pleasure, out of the old into the new, and He has placed His favor upon you. I'm telling you, it's right. It's good. Placed His favor, and He's made us a messenger of that reconciliation. You know what? So many times when we come to Christ, we come by grace, and then we got to live by the law. Well, then you got to do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. Count these 5 things. I mean, when I started going to church here in America, we were given little envelopes, and on the back of the envelopes, we had to say, did we read our Bible? We had to tick these off. Do we read our Bible every day? Do we pray every day? Do we witness to somebody every day? Have we brought our tithes and our offerings? And it's like there were five little blocks that we had to tick off. You know, that is throw up. That is terrible. Why do we have to do all that stuff to be pleasing to God? He is pleased with me just as I am. Now I'm going to want to please Him, and I'm going to do that stuff. I've got a hunger in my heart to speak to Him and to pray. I pray without ceasing. I read the Word. The Word is ever before me, like I spoke last night. I want to bring my offerings before Him because He owns it all, and whatever He tells me to do, that's just exactly what I do. My life is going to be a witness every single day, no matter who I touch, who I pass. I mean, I'm in the grocery store and I'm blessing people and I'm speaking out for Him, but I don't have to do it to make me pleasing to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I do it because it's the natural overflow of my life. And so often we've made these into little rules. We've put this all little things down. This is what I've got to do. But the Lord says, I love you. Just relax in my love. And let my love just flow out of you and let it become an overflow of your life. Let my life overflow out of you. Let my favor be so rich upon you. How are the heathen going to know? When they see that you are the most blessed person in the street, they're going to say, what's going on at your house? Why are you so blessed? Why are so many good things happening to you? And you're going to be able to say, it's because I live and I walk and I move in the favor of God. What is favor? I looked this word up in the dictionary, and this is what my Webster's dictionary said favor was. It's to be esteemed or preferred. To treat kindly. To treat with partiality. You know that? God treats us with partiality. But it's according to your faith, be it unto you. I mean, if all you've ever believed God for is that He's just like a righteous judge and He's going to zap you, guess what? That's what you'll get. But He treats us with partiality. He aids us. He supports us to enjoy special attention. Have you ever, some of you are grandmothers, you get one child and you just spoil them. You just favor them for that one day. God wants to give you special attention. I'm telling you, I just love this. Personal affection. Preferential treatment. I'm telling you, I expect to find a parking place right close. I expect favor. I mean, I just expect it wherever I go. I expect it. This is so fun. My son, bless his heart, has got a heavy foot just like his father, you know, and he drives too fast. So the other night he was coming home, I think, from church, and he was driving in a 30. He was going 52 in a 30 zone. And of course he looks in his rearview mirror, and there the flashing light. And he says, I just sat there and I said, oh God, I need your favor. Oh God, I need your favor. You know, now he should have been punished, you know, because he was going way too fast. And I'm not condoning how fast he goes. I keep telling him, Brad, you know, you're going to, well, Brad, you need to lighten up on that foot. And the policeman comes out and he says, well, let me see. And do you know that he didn't give him a ticket for speeding? But this is what happened. Some friends of his drove past Brad and they honked their horn and had a camera in their car, and they tried to take a photograph of Brad being stopped by the cop. And the cop turned to Brad and said, do you know those people? And Brad said, no, because Brad didn't recognize them. He said, I'll get them. He gets back in his car. He calls ahead to some of the other cops, and they stop this car with these guys. He lets Brad go, and they get these guys and read them the riot act. They didn't have an expired license. That all the stuff, you know. You talk favor. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. Now, I'm not saying you've got to presume upon that favor. I mean, I just think the Lord just shined and smiled on him. But there was favor on him. It's amazing. It's just amazing. But when you expect it, we've got to start expecting the favor of God wherever we go. And you see, it is possible for us to increase in that favor. Do you know that? I love it. Let me read you a few verses here. Oh, well, let me just tell you this before I read those verses to you. Do you know, like in the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites. We read about the Hittites and the Perizzites and all these arts. Guess what we are? The favorites. I mean, that's right. I am a favorite. I have been bought with the blood of Jesus, and I have been taken from the old into the new, and God's favor is upon me, and I expect it wherever I go. I am God's favorite. and so are you. And I walk in His fog, favor of God. Every time I see the fog, I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'm in your fog. I'm in the favor of God. My husband thinks I'm Looney Tunes sometimes. But you know what? It's, if you've got eyes to see, you'll see it. If you've got ears to hear, you'll hear it. You can see everything in the physical, and the Lord can turn it and speak to you in the spiritual. Because everything is really spiritual. Okay, I won't confuse you. 2 Peter. There are two wonderful verses in 2 Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I just read this in my quiet time this past week. Just such a blessing. But you see, it's the increase of favor that the Lord wants to show us this morning. Not only are you have got His favor on you, but you can increase that favor on you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. In the Amplified Bible says this, may grace, and grace is God's favor. Every time you see that word grace in your Bible, you can translate it into favor. And favor means esteemed, preferred, preferential treatment, aid, support, all that stuff. I mean, every time you see that word grace, just say, Lord, it's your undeserved favor. I don't deserve your favor, but because I've been brought from darkness into light, I walk in the glory of your favor today. So, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. And then turn over in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the very last verse of this. It says this, but grow in grace. Go grow in God's favor, in undeserved favor. Grow in that undeserved favor. Grow in it, in spiritual strength, the Amplified Bible adds, and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So it's possible to grow in that favor. To grow, to keep growing, to keep expecting it, to just keep receiving it from His hand, to keep knowing that He's one. I'm telling you, like I said last night, God is just looking for a people who will believe Him and will say, yes, Lord, pour it out on me, and I'll be so quick to pour it out on others. Just to be a conduit of His blessing. I mean, let it come, Lord, let me give it away. Let it come, let me give it away. And the more you get, the more you're going to give away. And the more you give away, the more you're going to get. But you know, this is such a wonderful truth, that if you get it, it'll change your life. And you begin to speak it over your life every day. I'm telling you, it's part of my prayer life now. Every morning when I go walking, Lord, I speak an increase of your favor over Tracy, Matt, and Brad, and John and myself. Lord, we walk in your favor. Increase that favor upon us. Lord, we expect your favor. I speak it over myself. Out loud, I just speak it into the spirit realm. Okay, where was I? Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And this passage you all know very well. Luke 4, let's read 18 and 19. Jesus has come into the temple, and He picks up the scroll and He reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as the delivered those who are oppressed, who are broken and downtrodden, who are bruised, who are crushed, who are broken down by calamity, to proclaim and the acceptable year of the Lord. And in brackets, my Bible says, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That is the year of Jubilee. And you know we're living in the year of Jubilee. The free favors of God are profusely abounding towards us. Isn't that good? Love it. Verse 19. The day to proclaim, and that's what I'm doing today. I am proclaiming today the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord. This day in your life, the free favors of God are going to profusely abound. I'm telling you, it makes me flat happy. I just get happy. Because I am walking in that favor of God. Some of you haven't had that favor, but today I declare it over your life. The free favors of God are going to profusely abound towards you. Telephone bills. I mean, you had a bit of favor last night. She got healed in her body. Her telephone bill was paid. I mean, it's awesome. Why not? The free favors of God. And you know, if it's a favor, that means you can't work for it. That means you can't deserve it. That means you can't even be good enough to get it. You've just got to receive it. You know, I've found that with my kids, I mean, they could have anything they want. If I've got it, they can have it. They can just have it. And it's just like, that's how the Lord is with us. If that's how I am with my kids, the Word says, how much more? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And everything. I mean, the healing is in the Holy Spirit. He comes and He heals. Favor is all in the Holy Spirit. The angels go out before us and prepare the way. They encamp around us. They protect us. It's His favor. It's His favor that's upon us. I preached this word in Lubbock recently, and a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, I was working 3 jobs just to make a living. She said, I was trying to make a house payment, I was trying to make a car payment, and I was working 3 jobs. And she said, I heard this word of favor. And she said, every day I would get up and I would say, Lord, as I walk out of that door, I would speak these words over myself. Lord, I thank you that today I walk in your favor. That you've gone before me, you're going with me, and you're going behind me. The favor of God is like a circle of blessing round about me. In fact, the Living Bible, in Psalm 25, the Living Bible talks about those that fear the Lord will walk in the circle of blessing. You know, and that's a wonderful truth. Just walking in a circle of blessing. Like if I'm moving here, that circle, it's like a hula hoop. You remember those hula hoops? They're just a circle of blessing. Anybody who comes and touches my life will just be blessed because they come into my circle of blessing. That's another whole sermon. But anyway, she said, I just started to, every day I walked out of the door, I'd say, Lord, I thank you that I receive your favor and I'll walk in your favor. I receive your favor, I'll walk in. She began to speak the favor of God over her life every single day. She spoke it out loud. Remember I spoke that last night? I mean, speak it. I speak it. When I talk to my kids on the phone, I say, Brad, the favor of God is all around you today. Tracy and Matt, the favor of God is all over you today. Expect, keep your eyes open. Keep looking, keep looking. His favor is all around you. Anyway, she did this, and she said that it was just right before Christmas, and she went off to see an old aunt that she hadn't seen for many years in California. And when she came back from California, a friend of hers picked her up at the airport and brought her mail to her. And she was going through her mail as they were driving home, and she saw this envelope from a bank. She opened the envelope. She thought it was a bank statement or something. And it was a check for $10,000 that some old aunt that she had forgotten even lived, was even alive, just decided out of the blue to bless her. I'm telling you, that is no coincidence. 2 weeks later, she gets another check from another old half-dead aunt, just blessing her with another check for $10,000. That woman could pay her car totally off. She didn't have to work. I mean, she was a sold customer. She didn't need to be taught anymore that she's walking in the favor of God. I mean, you just take a gold tooth or gold flakes or a telephone bill being paid or healing happening on your back like that guy with the ruptured disc last night. I mean, he knows God touched him. See, so when you know that you're walking in that favor and you start to say, well, I confessed it today and nothing happened. My boss was in a bad mood and just like everything went wrong. Keep speaking it. Keep speaking it. You've been speaking gloom and doom for years already. It's going to take a little work to change that atmosphere around you to walk in that circle of blessing. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. My mom, my dad passed away in November, end of October, it will be 2 years ago. They'd been married for 54 years, had lived in the same house for 47 years. And my dad and mom were just good old Baptists. I mean, they were precious, moral, upright, good, clean, living people. Took us to church 3 times a week and just loved Jesus. And I'm so forever thankful for my Baptist roots because it taught me the word. It taught me to love him. That's where I got saved. I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, my dad was the one who always read the Bible to my mom. I never heard my mom pray out loud. My dad was definitely the spiritual leader in our home. Every day, 3 years old, he went out to go water his yard in East London, in South Africa. And he just lay down on the grass and died. chariot of God just came and took him up to be with him in heaven. He wasn't sick. Nobody expected him to be dying or anything. The Lord just came and took him. So my mom, you know, she was very much the old school. She's never signed a check in her life. She doesn't drive a car. She has totally lived under the shadow of my dad. Every night, my dad would read her the word. My dad would pray over her. And here was my mom, absolutely floundering. What do I do? Well, we were in a meeting in West Texas, and it's absolutely a miracle. Somehow, the next-door neighbor got our telephone number of the pastor of the church we were in. I don't know how they even did that. In some little place, I can't even remember the name of the place we were in, and they called the pastor to say, my dad just passed away. This was a Thursday morning. And they said, you know, we'll be having the funeral on Monday. So we closed up the meeting. I preached at lunchtime. I mean, I just heard, and 2 hours later, I preached that morning. But you see, it was a glorious time. It was, Dad had gone to be with the Father, and he was rejoicing in his presence. And we preached that night, and the next morning, Friday morning, we went back to Dallas-Fort Worth, got on an aeroplane, flew to South Africa. John and I even spoke at my dad's funeral. It was amazing. I'll just tell you this little tidbit, because I think the Lord prepares us for things. I'm a walker, like I told you, and for at least 6 months before my dad died, three times, as I was walking, I would see, I'd have a vision of a casket, my dad's casket, and I was standing behind the casket, and I was preaching at my dad's funeral. The first time this happened, I thought, this is a little morbid. I'm not sure, you know. I came home, told John, but three times that happened. So I knew it was God, and he was going to do it. So anyway, we fly to South Africa, fly to East London. My two older sisters come down. We bury my dad, and I decided to stay on with my mom for the rest of that month, because, as you know, if you ever listen to the news, South Africa is a terrible... there's a lot of violence in that country right now. You cannot walk in the streets at night. You cannot. A woman doesn't even walk on her own through the town. It's a very dangerous situation. There's a carjacking every 5 seconds in South Africa. It's amazing. It's a very violent society. Well, my mom could not live in this house that they'd lived in 47 years. She couldn't stay one night on her own. You know, it was just not sensible. It wasn't wisdom. Well, how would she get to the store? I mean, she doesn't drive a car. She was absolutely lost. So I stayed on with my mom for the rest of the month, for the month of November. And every day I would get up and I'd say, Mom, you are God's favorite. And I began to speak the favor of God into my mom. It was amazing. She'd say, oh, Beverly. She said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, Mom, you are. God loves you and you are his favorite child. And so we let her grieve for about 2 weeks, and we started to pack up the house slowly. I knew I had to come back to the States at the end of the November. And I also knew that I had to have my mom out of the house sold, and my mom settled in some apartment or some place. And it was going to take nothing less than a miracle for that to happen. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, where do you want to stay? She said, you know, the only place that Dad and I had talked about is this little Berea Gardens Valley, which is like a community center for old people. And they each have their own little apartment, and it's just a wonderful place. Totally secure. They serve food if they want to have food. They have hairdressers right there. It's a little community that my mom would... But the problem is, it was totally fully booked. They weren't even taking names for a waiting list. You couldn't even get in to see the person to put your name on a waiting list. They were so fully booked. And I said, Mom, I don't know if that's possible. She said, well, that's where I want to go. I said, well, seeing you God's favorite child. This is a little tongue-in-cheek for me. I mean, but seeing you've God's favorite child, I'm just going to believe that God will do it. So one day we were coming back from town, and the Spirit of God just said to me, go via this place. It was 4:30 in the afternoon. So I drove down the road, stopped the car. The offices were all closed up, you know, burglar bars on the windows, burglar bars on the doors, totally everything locked. I mean, security like you can't believe. It's almost like a prison. And I thought, Lord, you let me come here for some reason. So I knock on the door, no answer. I knock again, and I just walk around in a circle, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that is the most powerful gift we have got? I'm going to speak about it tonight. I'm telling you, it's one of the most powerful gifts God has given His body, to pray in tongues and to pray in the Holy Ghost. So I just praying in the Spirit, praying it. Knocking that door again. And the door opens. I was like, oh, felt like a little bit like Rhoda. Remember Rhoda, when Peter knocked on the door? So the woman knocks, opens the door. She said, can I help you? I said, well, yes, I've come to see Barbara Nethercutt. And she was the lady in charge. She said, well, just come right in. So I just walk right in, and I go in right into the top lady's office, and I said, she said, how can I help you? I said, I would like to rent or buy an apartment. My dad has just passed away, and my mom lives on her own, and she can't stay in the house, and we're selling the house, and we want an apartment. She said, I just happen to have one. She waived that whole waiting list. She said, when would you like to see her? I said, well, how about right now? She said, well, come at 10 o'clock in the morning. So 10 o'clock in the morning, we went, and we got my mom the most beautiful little two-bedroom apartment. All of her drapes fit. Do you know, this is so typical of the older brother. Her friend said, how much money did you give them underneath the table? How come you got special preferential treatment? Some of her friends wouldn't even talk to her, because they were so convinced that she had done something shady to get in. It was just the most amazing thing. And I would say, Mom, it's because God's favor is upon you. God, I've been speaking it over her life 10 times a day. I'd make her confess it after me. I'm walking in God's favor. And I'd hear her. She'd call my sisters at night, you know, and she'd tell them what was going on. And she'd say, well, Beverly says it's because I'm God's favorite child. She'd say, but Beverly says it's because I'm God's favorite child. Well, by the end of the month, when she saw literally miracles take place every single day, like it's like 3 months waiting to get a telephone. You just don't get a telephone. Well, I just said, well, who's your boss and who's your boss? And let's go right to the top boss. And I need a telephone, and I need it today. And God gave us a telephone. You know, and it's like everything, the Lord, absolutely, it was the favor of God. By the time I left to come fly back to the States, she was totally settled. Every picture was on the wall. She was absolutely taken care of. And she was saying to my sisters and saying to her friends, well, I am God's favorite child, you know. It wasn't Beverly Says anymore, she was saying. She was actually, it had become a settled fact within her. I'm God's favorite child. Now, you've got to understand, this is not a charismatic, tongue-talking woman. This is somebody who's just gone to church all of her life, who sits on the back row, you know. But all of a sudden, the truth of the whole revelation that the God's favor is upon her exploded in her life. And she was a transformed woman. You know, it's so exciting. For that month, I taught my mom how to hear the voice of the Spirit. I taught her how to have a quiet time all on her own. And she said to me, she said, Beverly, it's almost like you've become the teacher, you've become the mother, and I've become the child. I said, it's okay, Mom, just learn from me. The little bit I know, I'm just going to teach you. And we would have quiet time every day. And she just got, she's witnessing to her friends. She's never witnessed to a soul before. Here she is, turning 80 next year, witnessing to her friends, going to Bible study all on her own. I mean, it's awesome. But the favor of God drew her into the goodness of God. And she wallows in that goodness. You know, my mom has just been, she's a wonderful lady. She had a stroke 20 years ago, so she's a little bit incapacitated. She can't use her right arm and her leg. She walks with a limp. But you know, she said, the secret to my life and to my health is that every day I laugh. And you know, the word says laughter is like medicine to your bones. She laughs. She says, sometimes I just laugh at myself. Sometimes I'll look at a bird and I'll just laugh. She said, I just laugh at the goodness of God. I laugh at the favor of God. Now, this is a little old Baptist, and I guarantee you she didn't learn that in church. She didn't learn that in church. But she's learning the favor and the goodness. And I'm telling you, when you're walking in that favor and that goodness, There's a smile on your face, and not everything is right for her. She nearly died Christmas Eve. She had a major big heart attack. This is so funny. But she was visiting my sister up in Johannesburg, and a cockroach, you know, those big flying cockroaches. My mother will just, she'll really scold me if she knows I've told you this. It crawled up her leg, and she got such a fright that she had a heart attack. The doctor says he's never ever heard anybody having a heart attack from a cockroach. But she literally had a heart attack. They took her to hospital, and she nearly died that night because of a cockroach. I know you think I'm crazy. This blonde, okay, it comes out of a bottle. It's all right, you know, blondes are okay, okay. So, you know, it's just, but she knew God was with her in that hospital bed. And she laughed, and she made all the nurses laugh. And the favor of God is upon that woman. She has received that truth. Now listen, if she can do it, so can you. This is a glorious truth, and I'm not even going to preach anymore. That's only half of my sermon, but I'm going to quit right here. You've got to know God wants to do you good, and He's never going to turn away from doing you good. He has placed His favor on you. He wants to place His favor on your home, on your call of God, on your destiny, on your finances, upon your marriage. He has placed His favor, and we need to start receiving it, believing for it, expecting it. How many of you looked in the mirror today to see if you had a gold tooth? Well, that's nearly half. You see, that's our problem. We've got to be expectant. But God wants to bless you. Yeah, He gave some. I hope that lady comes tonight with the gold tooth. She'll come tonight. We just need one gold tooth to build faith in us. Because I'm telling you, God is doing that. He's changing our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of it? We've got to start speaking the favor of God over each other. We've got to start exhorting one another with the favor of God. Start speaking it of ourselves. God loves you. God loves you. And He's placed His favor on you. That is good news for His people today. Father, I thank You. It's been such a good morning. It's been so wonderful. And Lord, we want to increase in that favor. We want to arise as Your children and just let the favor that profusely abounds towards us, we want to receive it, Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year when the free favors of God profusely abound towards us. And Lord, today we receive Your favor. We receive Your favor. We thank You for Your favor. I thank You, Lord, that You're just looking for a people to shower Your goodness on, Your favor on, Your grace on, our undeserved favor of God upon every one of us. And Lord, today, we receive that favor. Lord, touch our mouth. Lord, I ask You to ignite our expectancy. Set our little igniters aflame that we will just expect You. Just like we're expectant. We're so expectant. We're so expectant. We just expect You all the time. We're just looking. We're looking. We're looking. We're looking. We're expecting the favor of God and the presence of God just to show up in our lives all the time, Lord, because that's how You are. We walk in the circle of Your goodness and the circle of Your blessing today. Abides around us, and the angels of the Lord encamp around us today. Circle of Your blessing. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, Lord, let Your glory just come. Lord, I ask You, as I prayed so much this morning, that the truth will set Your people free today. That they will be set free from walking in the bondages and the shackles of the enemy, to walking in the glory of Your favor. The glory of Your favor. The glory of Your goodness. The glory of Your glory and Your favor. Blessed be Your name. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just release increase upon these precious children of God. I speak an increase in wisdom. I speak an increase in strength. I speak an increase of Your favor with You, Lord God, and with them, with men. I speak an increase on their finances. I speak an increase on every investment they've made. I speak an increase in their job situation. I speak an increase in their love for you. I speak an increase in their love for each other. Their love for their wives, husbands, their spouses. I speak increase, Lord, increase. Increase upon these precious children. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it, says the Word of God. And God, you're a God of the increase. You want to do super abundantly more than we could even ask for, even think of, or even comprehend. You want to do more, 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 more. Thank you, Lord. You want to bless us. You want to bless us more than we even want to be blessed. You want to bless us. And Lord, today we want to be good receivers. We hold up our receiver to you. Will you just come? Glory, glory. Touch your precious children this morning. Now, whatever you have need of, the Lord just said to tell you, whatever you have need of. Some of you need healing in your body. Receive it. Some of you need wisdom concerning some issue. The Lord's going to speak a word to you this day. Some of you need a breakthrough in your finances. Receive it.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.